Shalom, everybody. You see, we wanted to go straight into our next song because we're so excited. Shalom, everybody, and welcome to the Restoration Hour. It is myself, Aaliyah, and it is Yosef. And, well, you know what? We are excited to be back on this broadcast, but we have to have a little bit of a disclaimer before we get into it. We are so grateful to obviously have recovered from this nasty virus and, yeah, just really blessed that Abba Father has been with us in such a powerful way. We also do know that, you know, lack of energy and a little bit of brain fog and slightly huskier voice than we usually have is definitely what we're going to be dealing with on this broadcast. But we are excited because Abba Father has really laid something deep on our hearts today. And he's really laid something deep on our hearts for us to really, really minister and share. And I believe, Yosef, that it is for many people on the Restoration Hour this evening. So this is for you. We are excited to be here. The Spirit is willing. We're going to do this. You know, where the Spirit of Yahweh is, there's freedom. And he's just going to minister that freedom tonight. And so welcome, welcome, welcome. It's lovely to see each and every single one of you. You know what? It is just such a beautiful privilege. And just we are so filled with gratitude just to be here and to be back with you all. So welcome. And welcome to you, Yosef, as well.
Thank you so much. And like Aaliyah says, it's always good to be with you on the Restoration Hour. And if it sounds strange and we cough a little bit, we apologize for that. But to Yahweh be the glory. Mm. And like Aaliyah says, we are so happy that we can share with you all again. And more importantly, on a topic that I really do believe, like Aaliyah said, is one of utmost importance. I think it's something, Aaliyah, that we as believers in Messiah Yeshua, we struggle with. And there is a divided opinion concerning this topic too. You know, those who will say, well, you know what, if you are such a person, then there is something wrong with you. Whereas that is not necessarily the truth. And we're going to get into this topic this evening and speak about doubt. And I think that when we mention that word doubt, there are so many facets to it. And the word of Yahweh is so clear that we should not be people who doubt, but of people instead who have faith. And you know, James talks about it. How do we receive that understanding and how do we get into a place where we don't doubt? It comes by not only understanding the word of Yahweh, but also understanding his will, his character, and who Yeshua is. Both the Father and the Son, and applying those principles to our lives. And it's not a matter of doubting and being like, well, you know what, I doubt, so there must be something wrong with me. We need to understand what the Bible really teaches concerning doubt and why there are many times in our lives when we do doubt, and how the Father can use doubt even in your life to help you to overcome so that you can be even stronger and a better person in the days to come. I think we always, and this is something we do because we always try as human beings to find reasons to the things that we're troubled with, or why do I have, you know, this is a question I think even for myself, you know, why do I have faith for others, yet I doubt things in my own life? You know, so many times people will ask, you know, Yosef, please come and preach, you know, somewhere, or come and pray for me. And in that moment, you go and you have this fire inside of you because you've prepared, you've spent time in the Spirit of Yahweh, and you go, and when you preach, you have this assurity because you know that this message has been placed inside of your heart. But oftentimes, in the moment that you're there, or in the moment that you're even speaking a word over someone else's life that the Father's laid on you, there comes these moments of doubt. And sometimes it's a tool of the enemy, he uses those doubts, but oftentimes it's our own selves that doubt. And in that moment, you have this moment of weakness or moment of your flesh. And there's this period where you question and say, you know, Yahweh, is this really you? Am I right in what I'm saying in this moment? But then you have to switch it over to the faith and you have to believe that what Yahweh is doing in your life is for a reason. So this evening, I know that we have this topic that we're going to speak about. And I believe that those of you listening, there is a moment in your life or there's been times in your life where doubt has crept in. And maybe you're even asking or saying, like I said, you know, Yahweh, I believe and I have faith, but why then do I still doubt the promises that you've said to me? Or why do I sometimes doubt when I pray for someone or when I even pray for something else? And what does this mean? And this evening we're going to talk about some people that doubted. We're going to talk about what it means. We're going to talk about all these things.
And I think it's important to get real because, you know, when we share our stories, it's then when we realize that we don't go through these things alone and that it's okay. You know, doubt is not a sin. And that's the first thing that we need to say this evening, you know. And I actually, on the 9th of August, which is Women's Day in here in South Africa, I was sick in my bed, but about 3 weeks before that, I was asked to be part of a women's leadership seminar, which I did actually share about on the Restoration Hour, how powerful that time was. And one of the things that I ended up speaking about, you know, was actually doubt. The doubt that I have, the self-doubt that I've lived with for many years, particularly when it comes to my writing. And I spoke very openly and vulnerably about it when I shared at the table on the 9th of August. And actually, while I was sick in my bed on the 9th of August, I actually watched the conference back and I was literally weeping because Abba Father used what I was talking about to minister back to me. And that was how I knew that it was in His spirit. He led me to say specific things. I remember waking up the morning that we recorded that conference and He spoke to me and He said to me, this is what I want you to say. And I was like, okay, it's for somebody. You know what? The funny thing was, it was for me because I listened back to what I was sharing about the self-doubt that I've lived with for, you know, many months of this particular year, specifically for some strange reason. And I listened to myself ministering this word, and I was so touched by the Ruach. I was so touched by the Father's Spirit. And I think that it's so important that we get real and realize that we should not condemn one another, but that we should understand one another. And this is why it is so powerful for us to go into the word this evening and to look at people's lives. And actually, people who were around with Yeshua is going to be some of our targets this evening, because how Yeshua responds to doubt is so powerful. And it's how He responds to us as well. And you know what, Yosef, we need to pray. We need to open up and pray. Please pray for us.
Father, we just want to come to you this evening and say thank you. Thank you, Yahweh, that you are for us and not against us. Thank you, Abba Father, that you love us, that you care for us. Thank you, Yeshua, that you have come and that you gave your life for us as a sacrifice so that we can be reconciled to the Father. Father, so that we can be people who don't doubt but have faith. And Father, your word says so clearly, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Yahweh. And Father, there are things in this life that we are going to go through in these days to come. Things, Father, that we are not going to understand. Things, Father, that is going to require great faith. It's going to require us, Father, to believe in the promises of your word, and not only the promises of your word, but the spoken revelation words that you have given to us as individuals by your spirit, Father, are things that we're going to have to hold on to. So if we fear and if we doubt, then Father, we might fall short of the blessings and the things that you want to give to us in the days to come. So help us this evening, Father, to have not only the eyes that see and ears to hear, but Father, to have a heart that truly comprehends and understands these things, and not just a mind, Father, that listens and ears that hear, but to really take it in so that we can really be the people that you want us to be. Father, I believe that you are more than a loving Elohim. You are compassionate and gracious. So this evening, Father, I pray that this word, Father, will both be compassionate, will be gracious, but at the same time, Father, will be like a tool steering us in the right direction so that we can be those people in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. You know, I want to start off this evening with reading a scripture, and it was actually found in this week's Torah reading, and it actually says this in Deuteronomy 25. Now, this week's Torah, if you did the Torah reading, and it's okay if you didn't, it was all about these, how can I put it? Random commandments. It's just a list of endless list of commandments. Some of them quite disturbing because I was reading them to Yosef and he was like, oh my goodness, this is craziness. And some of them actually are quite deep. And Deuteronomy 25 verse 17 and 18 says the following. This is a commandment. Think about this commandment that I'm going to read to you and how random it is. But I'm going to tell you something special about this commandment. It says, remember what the Amalekites did to you along the way when you came out of Egypt. That's a commandment. Remember, it's kind of like Exodus 20, where it says, remember the Sabbath day. That is a commandment. We are commanded to remember the Sabbath day. Yeah, he's commanding them to remember what the Amalekites did when they came out of Egypt. Then it says, when you were weary, when you were worn out. Now, it depends what kind of translation you're reading. But in the Amplified, it will go further and will say, when you were tired, when you were weary, when you were worn out, when you were crushed, when you were, you know, filled with doubt, when you were just really struggling. In other words, those at the back of the millions of people that came out of Egypt, however many millions of, you know, Israelites came out of Egypt, there were some straggling at the back because they were weary, because they were worn out, because the wilderness was long, because they were doubting, where are we going to end up? What is going to happen? We come out of Egypt, where are we? You know, the Israelites complained quite a few times and said, have you taken us, Moses, out of Egypt just so we can die here in the wilderness? Take us back. We want to go back. We miss the garlic. We miss the watermelons. They name the actual things that they miss. So here they are actually weary and worn out. And he tells them, remember what happened right here. They met you on your journey and cut off all who were tired, all who were weary, all who were lagging behind. They had no fear of God. Then he says, when Yahweh your God gives you rest from all of these enemies around, in the land he's given you to possess as an inheritance, you will blot out the memory of Amalek from the heavens. Do not forget. Now he's telling them, he's consistently saying to them, remember what Amalek did to you. Remember how they, I mean, that's a terrible thing. You have these weary people. There were probably children at the back, maybe, you know, pregnant women at the back, you know, old grannies and grandpas at the back, people who were tired, you know, physically as well from the journey, not just weary spiritually and emotionally. It's just that place that you get into where you are weary. What does Amalek do? Amalek comes down and just attacks the people. Because why? Because they are in a weary state. So Amalek thinks, oh, well, you know what? That's the best time to hit your enemy. Of course, it's the best time to hit your enemy. I mean, Israel was the enemy of Amalek, if you think about it. But it was wicked what Amalek did. Now, I want to tell you something about interesting about the word Amalek. We know that obviously the Amalekites themselves were descendants of Esau. Okay, which tells you a lot about their character and personality. They were not chosen by Yahweh. They came through a seed that was not, you know, good in Yahweh's sight. But the word Amalek actually means those who lick blood. So that also tells you a little bit about who they were. But the word for Amalek is also connected to the Hebrew word, which is Safek, which actually means to doubt. And you know what, hey? Doubt is a weapon of Amalek. It is a weapon. They saw the people weary. They saw the people not knowing where they were going. You know, kind of maybe losing a bit of faith, losing a bit of confidence. What is Yahweh doing? You know, like he's taken us out of Egypt. Yes, we had this Passover, we put the blood on the doorpost and we were going. And yes, we've wandered for many, 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 many years. And there's a lot of, you know, maybe unsettledness and doubt and confusion that comes in when we are in the wilderness. How does this apply to us today? Of course, we know that they had to remember Amalek and they did do the right thing and they did blot out the name of Amalek. In fact, it was some from the Amalekites who killed King Saul, who helped drive the spear through him. And then David actually killed that guy based on his own witness. But we know, how does this apply then to us today? We know that the enemy, a tool of the enemy. Now, when he sees us doubting, you know, it's not, yes, the enemy, just like Yosef said earlier on, can come and give us doubt in our lives. But we also need to realize that doubt is a very human thing. You know, we all, no matter who you are, I'm sure you have heard stories of people, because I know I have, who maybe were called to start a business or who were called to do something really big. And there's a part of us in our humanness that doubts. And it's a lot of times linked to fear of failure or fear of getting in debt or fear of what if this thing doesn't work out and I'm the laughing stock of my family, or I get my family in debt if my business doesn't work out. What if I fail? What will I look like to others? And it's a lot about our humanness. So doubt can come in because we are humans. We shouldn't beat ourselves up about the times where we doubt. But that's where discernment comes in. Discern whether this is a weapon of the enemy, a weapon of Amalek that's going to come against your life, or if this is just a human thing. And then if it is just a human thing, maybe it's woundedness from your childhood. Maybe your parents didn't affirm you. you know, and maybe your love language is words of affirmation. You never got that. Maybe, you know, you did well in school and they never praised you, or you didn't do well in school and they still didn't praise you, or they still didn't help you, or no one said anything. It could be that woundedness that comes in because of our deep humanness that we have. We can't see, you know, doubt as this incredible sin. But the warning that we can take here to remember Amalek is to know that if, and I'm going to testify from my own life this evening, if I sit or you sit with doubt for too long, even human doubt that's just formed by your own overthinking or your own, you know, whatever, the enemy is going to use that against you. Because say the Father has called you to something and you sit for long enough with doubt, like, oh, I don't have the finances for it, or oh, what's going to happen, or oh, I don't have the skills or the gifts or the talents. Eventually, the enemy is watching you because you are a child of faith. He knows you represent Yeshua to the world. Of course, he's going to have one little eye on you. He's like, I'm going to take that person out. He sees you sitting with that doubt. He's going to amplify it. And you know what? A year, two, three, four, 5 years may pass, and you never, ever step into your calling. You never step into your destiny. You never fulfill your purpose. And all you do is sit with doubt. And you know what doubt leads to? Defeat. You will begin to live a defeated life. You begin to start to think thoughts that are not even good. Like, no, oh, that person has it so much better than me. Or, oh, look at that person thriving. Oh, look at that. Or, oh, I'm never going to do anything with my life. Oh, no, this is just who I am. I'm just settling for second best. Then you have the poverty mindset. Then you have a scarcity mentality. You have a defeat mentality. You're not going to do anything. And that's where we need to know Yosef. Remember Amalek. That is what Amalek preys on. When you are sitting for too long in the doubt, you know, sometimes he's going to throw the doubt at you and then you got to decide. Other times you're going to pick up doubt yourself. Don't sit in it too long, because it's then that you're going to get to a place that is really bad and you're going to start to live a defeated lifestyle. And that's the opposite of the victory Yeshua has given to us.
You know, Leah, just on that, I was just thinking, you know, I made a note when I was preparing for, you know, the restoration hour, and I said, you know, the Bible says clearly to us, at first, you know, it affirms, and we're going to look at all different kind of people, but one of the things that happens when the doubt takes over and destroys your faith, eventually it destroys life. And that's exactly what it says with James. James says this. It says in James chapter 1, 5 to 8, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask Yahweh, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith. You see, when we ask for anything, or when we want to do something or believing, we have to do it in faith. And then he goes on and he says, without doubting, or with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from Yahweh. He is double-minded, unstable in all his ways. So there is a time where there is nothing wrong when we allow, for example, or when we doubt. But when our doubt starts to rob us of our faith, and we live in that doubt, that is when we become a person that is unstable and double-minded. And then we tend to doubt everything. We tend to doubt ourselves. We tend to doubt the word of Yahweh. We begin to doubt Yeshua himself. And we begin to become people that oftentimes become very liberal in our understanding. And we start to question everything instead of really walking by faith and not by sight. And so many people, unfortunately, they don't walk like that, and they don't live like that. And you know what's interesting, Elia, is that before that story took place, they were coming out and they were in the wilderness and they had seen all the miracles that had already taken place. And you know, when I look at another scripture, I want to read this one to you quickly. It is found in Matthew chapter 28, 16 to 17. And it's right at the end, before Yeshua is about to give them the Great Commission to his disciples. And they've been with Yeshua all this time. They've already, you know, Thomas has already touched the hands of Yeshua and his side, because he was doubting Thomas. And all the disciples have seen the multitude of miracles that have happened with Yeshua as their rabbi. But yet the Bible says something interesting about them. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Yeshua had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Mm. Now, do we stop and we look at that and say, well, they were evil, they were of the enemy, they were filled with the devil? No, they were human. And we got to understand that we are fleshly and we are spiritual. And unfortunately, sometimes our flesh tends to give us a slap in the face, if I have to put it that way. It tends to really knock us around. And that is why it's so important. It says that the righteous, somebody that seeks Yeshua with all their heart, all their mind, and all their soul, someone who dedicates not only just, you know, an hour a week or 2 hours a week going to a Torah group or going to church, but dedicates their time and their life to fulfilling what Yahweh has called him, to being a sacrifice, a living sacrifice. Such a person is someone who changes from being what? Unrighteous to becoming a righteous person. And it says the righteous will live by their faith. So if we really live by faith, then when we see something and that doubt creeps in, your faith will be stronger than the doubt and you'll be able to overcome. That is why Peter overcomes. That is why so many other people in the scriptures overcome. And you know, I want to mention one person tonight that I thought about. And you know, I've heard people preach about this. I've heard people talk about it. But it was relevant to me because I think so often we forget. You know, the story of John the Baptist. You know, John the Immerser, it tells us something very interesting because like it says that he was the cousin of Yeshua. And when he was in the womb, he leapt, recognizing that Yeshua was the Messiah. And then he has this great honor and privilege to mikveh Yeshua in the Jordan and to pronounce and to speak into his life. And not only that, but also to say, you know, behold, here comes the Lamb. This is the Lamb that is going to be slain. He recognizes that he is the Messiah. And then after he's mikveh him, he goes away. And then what happens? He's in prison. And he's sitting in prison in the place of darkness. He's sitting in this prison place. And again, we need to understand, a tool of the enemy. It's not necessarily the enemy, but our doubts. When we doubt and we sit there thinking, wondering, acting on our doubts, the enemy sees it. And not only that, he acts upon our doubts and amplifies those things. So he has John sitting in this prison. And what does he do? He doubts. And because he doubts, he sends his disciples to Yeshua to go and ask, are you really the Messiah? After Yeshua has already been mikveh by John. And what does Yeshua say? He doesn't say to him, oh, you of little faith. Oh, you person of no faith. You know, you need to have pity on your life. And turns him away like so many people say. You know, so many believers today, when you doubt, they say, oh man, there's something wrong with you. You better have more faith. Mm. And they hammer you. No, what does Yeshua do? He quotes scripture and he says to the disciples, you know what? The same thing that was happening there before that passage about Amalek. He quotes and he says, the blind see, the lame walk. People have been resurrected. There is signs and wonders following me all over. Go and tell John these things. And he goes and tells John, and what happens? John believes. Why? Because he recognizes the word of Yahweh. It's the word of Yahweh that lives within us that causes us to believe the facts that Yahweh gives us, and that produces miracles. It produces a life change inside of us which removes those doubts. So we can't always say, Aaliyah, that doubt is of the enemy. Mm. Doubt is oftentimes placed in front of us so that we can overcome our fears and so that we can be like a Peter, someone who overcomes, or a Thomas, or a John.
Hmm. I love that you're talking about John the Baptist because it's so absolutely true. You know, he was the first person to recognize Messiah Yeshua when That's he right. was just in the womb as an unborn child that leapt. You know, he was the one who saw Yeshua coming. He was the one that foretold that he said, how many times, John the Baptist said, how many times, I am not the Messiah. The Pharisees came to him himself and said, who are you? You know, and he said, I'm just preparing the way. One will come after me whose sandals I'm not worthy to tie. And then he saw Yeshua and said, behold, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You know, he proclaimed it. He knew. There was that ultimate faith that I believe John the Baptist had, probably for many years. Mm. And that's why he even said to Yeshua, why am I baptizing you? It shouldn't be like this. It should be the other way around. And Yeshua said to him, we have to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Right. There was such a divine exchange that consistently happened between them. You know, John the Baptist saw Yeshua, proclaimed Yeshua, knew based on the Holy Spirit revelation that fell upon him as well, that this was the Messiah. And then, like you say, in that moment of darkness, Amen. In that wilderness, in those places, he doubted and was like, okay, are you actually really the Messiah? And it's so beautiful, though, like you said, Yeshua does not rebuke him. Yeshua is not like, hey, you wicked man. Yeshua reminds him of what has been foretold,
right,
what John knew, what he understood, and also what people were seeing. And that was enough to convince him. And you know, it's actually quite intense because Yeshua tells him that he is the Messiah right before John actually dies. So he needed that faith, I believe, to go boldly towards his absolute destiny, which was unfortunately that he was going to die in that way that he did die. And that is the way that Yeshua is with us. He reminds us of the things. And you mentioned something very specific, and I also want to touch on this before we go to the song, is that doubt gets us to doubt the word of Yahweh. Yes, the word of Yahweh, the written word of Yahweh, but also the words that have been spoken over your life that were true words. I'm not talking about the false stuff and, you know, maybe the weirdo stuff that was said, because sometimes that has happened to some people and that wasn't of Yahweh, but the true words of Yahweh that were spoken over your life. That's why Timothy, remember, Paul says to Timothy, wage war with the prophecies spoken about you. Wage the war. There's how we overcome also the battle of Amalek. Waging war with the word of Yahweh that's been spoken over our lives, that's been given to us. And that is supposed to help ease that and take away that doubt.
And it is a war. It's a war in your mind. It's a war in the spiritual realm. It's a war. And the enemy will do everything in his power to cause you to not believe the word of Yahweh over your life. Because if Yahweh has given you a word that you will be X, Y, or Z, or that you're going to do X, Y, and Z, the best way that he can cause you to stall and to stop is to put doubt, which then causes fear, which then causes you to become like a person with apathy and a person that trembles and moves away. You slowly but surely move away from your destiny. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're moving away from Yahweh, but you're stepping aside. You're sidestepping those harder paths that Yahweh's called you on, because you doubt that he who started the good work in you is faithful and just to bring it to completion. You're starting to say, well, I'm not so sure I can do that. Why? Because it becomes, instead of it becoming us, the Father and me, it becomes me. And then you start thinking, well, I can't do this, because you step aside in your flesh, and no longer is it a partnership with the Father, it's you. And then as soon as it's you, the doubt, the fear, and all those things take hold of you. And then the enemy says, you see, he doesn't love you. Yahweh doesn't love you. He's not there. But who stepped away? We step away. And we need to understand that. Because of our doubts and our fears, we step away from what Yahweh has for us. And he's always there. He's always saying, don't fear, don't doubt. I love you. And you know what's interesting? I want to just read one scripture quickly, and then we can go to the song. You know, in Job, there's a scripture in Job. I just want to find it. That says that in Jude chapter 22, or Jude 1:22, there's only one chapter in Jude. But it says this, and I think this is something that we struggle with as humans, because when we are strong in our faith and someone else isn't, we tend to cast judgment on that person and say to them, you know, you have little faith, you know, pull yourself together. But that's not what the scripture says we should be doing. It says, be merciful to those who doubt. Be merciful to a person who doubts their faith. Be merciful to somebody that is struggling to believe if Yeshua really is who he says he is. Be merciful to somebody who is weak in the faith or struggling or any kind of doubt. We have to be merciful to such a person. And mercy is something that Yahweh wants us as believers to show to the world. And the world doubts. They doubt.
Yeah.
So we need to show mercy to somebody that doubts. And it's difficult sometimes.
Jude 1 verse 22. That's a very, very powerful scripture. We're going to go to our first song, and we want to proclaim this song. We pray that you'll enjoy this song. It's called Believe For It by C.C. Winans. And I think, you know what, this song is just so powerful. So enjoy, and we'll continue when we get back.
They say these chains will never break.
You know, I kind of feel like that song is an anthem. It's not a song. It's a total anthem. Been listening to that song for quite a while now, and it's just so powerful. So welcome back to the Restoration Hour. And you know what? Doubt. We're talking about doubt, and there's so much that I feel like we've said already. And even though Yosef and I did not discuss the scriptures we were going to discuss, so you didn't know, I also wrote down some things about the disciples. And I really want to amplify a number of things, almost as like a summary. You know, we read in Mark 16. Now, I am going to say a disclaimer about Mark 16. As we know, if you listen to Treasured Inheritance Ministry long enough, you will know that, you know, from verse 9 down, Mark 16 does not appear in some of the earliest manuscripts. All right, I'm going to put that out there. But some of this is just summary in this last part of Mark 16. And we do know that some of this appears in John's gospel and in Matthew's gospel. But we have to teach the truth of Yahweh's word. So I have to say that to you before I get into this. But I am going to summarize. It says that, you know, Yeshua appeared to Mary Magdalene, who we know this is mentioned in John. In John chapter 20. That's right. Okay, he appears to Mary Magdalene. And it says that he also appeared to the woman. And they believed. Mm-hmm. The woman who followed Yeshua believed. That is a sermon on its own. Let's move on. They go to who? To the 11 disciples. That's right. And they say, you know, Yeshua is resurrected. His body is not in that tomb. We went, we took the perfume, we took the oil, we took the myrrh, we took the frankincense. We were going to anoint his body. He wasn't there. And then it is incredible because these women testify to the fact that the resurrection has taken place. But what does it say? And it says it in Mark 16. It says that when they heard that Yeshua was alive, they did not believe it. It's talking about the 11 disciples. These male disciples gathered in this room did not believe. Then what happens? Yeshua is walking on where? The road to Emmaus. Mm. And the two guys who are walking away from Jerusalem, we spoke about this before. These were two people who followed Yeshua. These are, okay, were not part of the 11, but they were part of the many other disciples that followed Yeshua. Remember, Yeshua sent out 72 at one stage, two by two by two. Mm. These two guys could have been part of that 72. Instead of waiting in Jerusalem, like Yeshua said, these two guys who were with Yeshua are walking away from Jerusalem, the place where, you know, resurrection is going to happen, the place where power is going to happen. And they're walking away. Why, Yosef? Because of doubt and unbelief. Mm-hmm. And Yeshua actually says to them that they mustn't. And here in Mark 16, in verse 13, it says that they did not believe. They did not believe. And even these guys, you know, that were walking with Yeshua on the road, they ran back to Jerusalem and told the other people, and they still didn't believe. Throughout this whole account, when Yeshua is resurrected, there is this doubt. And just like you said, he appears to the 11 and he appeared to Thomas. Now, I think it's a little bit unfair because, you know, for 2,000 years, people go, oh, don't be a doubting Thomas. You know, it's like such a statement we make. And it's obviously after this poor guy that just really didn't believe. And he said, you know, to the other disciples, like, I've got to touch his scars. I've got to touch his side. I've got to touch his hands to know that he is really Yeshua. Now, if we consider this, Yosef, we need to realize that someone resurrecting from the grave after he died such an intense death is quite a big thing. Mm. I don't blame them for doubting. We can't blame them for doubting. You know, again, Yeshua doesn't blame them for doubting. What does he do to Thomas? What does he say to Thomas? He says, you know, when he finally arrives and Thomas sees him, he's like, whoa. Yeshua says, yeah. Touch my hands, touch my side. He doesn't rebuke him and say, you know what, Thomas, I told you I was going to die. I told you to wait here. I told you you need to have faith. I told you to believe in me. You are worse than Judas. I get out the door. He doesn't say that. He does not treat us like that in our doubt. He says, come here, just like what he did with John the Baptist. He's saying to Thomas, he's joined him in to remind him of truth and saying, come look. Touch my hands, touch my side, feel that it's really me. I want to show you. And that was mercy. That was love. That's compassion. That's Yeshua. And we forget that image of Yeshua when we get hard on people because they are doubting. And you know, there could have been many reasons why Thomas doubted. We don't know why he felt that way. But of course, like I said, resurrection is a pretty big thing. He never rebuked Thomas. He tells him, you know, touch me here and there and everywhere. And then there was a scripture that you read in Matthew 28. Mm. And that scripture is really, really powerful. But again, it is here in Mark 16. And I'm going to read it, you know, in here. And it says, after Messiah Yeshua had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven. This is, you know, right after he spent quite a number of days with them. It says, he was taken up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and they preached everywhere. And Yeshua worked with them and confirmed his word through them by the many signs and miracles and wonders that accompanied them. Think about what is happening. I'm going to go a little bit deeper and a little bit further. We see that these disciples were filled with doubt. Yeshua is with them. It says that he was with them for 40 days and he was taken up. All right. Here it just tells you really quickly, he was taken up and he's seated at the right hand of Yahweh and these disciples went out. Something happened between Yeshua going up into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, and them going out and performing signs and wonders. What happened? Acts chapter 2. They were waiting and they were what? Mm. Filled with the Ruach, filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's what changed the doubt into faith, but not only faith, Yosef. It wasn't like that mild faith. It's like, okay, I'm going to get up tomorrow and start another day all over again. And I believe it's going to be better than today. It wasn't that kind of faith. Mm. It was that kind of faith that led them to say, to that guy that was sitting by the temple, silver and gold, I don't have. What I have, I give unto you. You stand up and walk. When that guy was crippled, it was the kind of faith that saw the gospel of Messiah Yeshua break forth into Europe from the Middle East and continue now until we, the ends of the earth, so that you and I can be saved. Mm-hmm. The same gospel message that we have to take to the 3 billion people who are alive today that have not heard the gospel, and that is an accurate figure, 3 billion people still alive who have not heard the name Yeshua and his saving grace. So don't tell me the end of the world is tomorrow. It's not. Because Matthew 24 says that this truth has to go to the ends of the earth. 3 billion people haven't heard, so we know we got work to do. And it's that kind of Holy Spirit faith at work in us, Yosef, that changes us from doubting to faith-filled. Mm. So if we doubt and we have that humanness, it's okay, because Messiah Yeshua comes to us in that humanness and says, you know what? You know what? It's okay. I'm here with you. But then we need to take it a step further and we need to say, Holy Spirit, you know what? I need the power of the Holy Spirit in my life to overcome the doubt. You know, Yeshua said that the Holy Spirit's the comforter. You know, he's the counselor. He leads us into all the truth. But he's also the one that's going to empower us to do these great things that ordinary people won't be able to do.
Amen. And how do we do that? And I think it brings us back to what we started with in the beginning of the Restoration Hour by saying, you know, that this faith that we have to have and this relationship with Yeshua is imperative. It's not a relationship of an hour here, an hour there. It's a life. And when we live this life of faith, and I've spoken about this in the teaching, the tzaddik shall live by their faith. It's all about being changed from the person that you used to be. The doubting person that Thomas was changed into being a person of faith. And his faith, not only his faith, it's Peter. Think of Peter and John and go to the temple. You know, there was a moment where he was going, well, he was denying Yeshua. He was doubting. He was filled with doubt and questions in his own mind because of his flesh. But then when the Spirit of Yahweh fills them and they stay in that place of communion with the Father, there is this profound faith that happens, a boldness, not only a boldness to proclaim the word, but also a boldness to do more that they have ever done. They moved from where they were, and we know they were persecuted. The persecution caused them, you know, to move out. But when they moved by faith. And we need to understand something, that Yeshua doesn't want us to doubt. He knows that we are human. He knows that we are just, as the Bible says, it says that we are just dust. We are just, you know, people that have been created, but we have these flaws. That's the way that it is. But unfortunately, so many of us, we live in our flaws. We live out of those places instead of living out of the place. And I've said this before. You know, there's one thing to be saved. When we get saved, we enter into the family of Yahweh. We enter into the house of Yahweh, the family of Israel. We enter in. But so many of us forget that there are different places in this house where we can live. You can choose where you want to live. You can say to yourself today, okay, I'm just going to be saved and I'm going to live around here in the living room. Or you can say to yourself, you know what? I want to move closer to my Father. I want to live in the penthouse. I want to live in the place of His presence. And so many times I've said this, we enter in, we have an encounter with Yeshua that leads us to the place of the penthouse, if I have to put it that way, for a moment. But that's not what the Father says. He says, I want you to live in the place of my presence continually. I want you to abide with me continually. I want you to be a person that has this faith on a day-to-day basis. And yes, we go through trials and we go through hard times, but our faith is tested. And when our faith is tested and strong, we become a person that gives life to others. That's why it says, the tzaddik, the righteous, shall live by faith. But when you live by that faith, the faith that you get and you receive, look at the disciples, what happened? Because they no longer doubted and feared, and they were filled with this tremendous spiritual faith, other people's lives were impacted. There was resurrections, there was healings, there was signs and wonders. And that's what the Bible says. When we no longer doubt and fear, then signs and wonders will follow the redeemed. And in this generation, now more than ever, we have to believe that we are more than overcomers. The entire book of Revelation continues to say over and over and over, blessed are they that overcome. Blessed are they that overcome. And you know, that overcoming, Aaliyah, is not just overcoming the spirit of the age. It's overcoming your fears, overcoming your doubts, overcoming the things in your own life that you struggle with. And you cannot overcome those things on your own. You can only overcome those things through a life of prayer, a life of dedication, and a life of surrender. When you surrender things to the Father and you live in a place where your hands are open, your heart is open, your mind is open, those doubts and fears leave you. And when you allow the Father to use you, this is the biggest thing. You see, doubt causes you to stop doing what you were created to do, and it causes death in your life. But if we don't doubt and we trust the Father just a little bit, then the Father can do miracles through your life that impacts the lives of others. And those times where you, maybe it's even just going to a work colleague and sharing the truth with them and seeing their lives change, that causes you to have what? An encounter that brings what? A miracle of faith. And that faith makes you understand that, hey, you know what? I heard, I listened, I didn't doubt. It caused a chain reaction. This is what happens. And I want to say this as we come to the end this evening. I want to say, you know, doubt, and we've said this, just to recap, doubt, it's not a lack of faith. We have to understand that. Lack of faith is unbelief. If you have a lack of faith, it's unbelief. And you know, many today, they think that if they doubt, it is wrong, as we said, or evil, but it's not, all right? Because we see many times in the scriptures that those who doubted, like we've said, they eventually become what? They become great men and women of great faith. And we even see it, you know, when you go read in the book of Hebrews about those who had great faith. If you go read, a lot of those people that are listed there, they doubted. There was times where they doubted and they weren't so sure. So we must recap and say unbelief is the opposite of faith. And unbelief refers to willful refusal to believe, while doubt refers to inner uncertainty. It's that inner struggle that you have. And we see it with Job, we see it with David. They question Yahweh. These are great men of faith and great men that did great things, but yet they still question. And there's nothing wrong with questioning Yahweh. He wants us, when we doubt, to come to Him and not to sit there on our own where the doubt comes and robs us. When we run to Yahweh and we say, open, Yahweh, I'm not so sure, I'm doubting. Help me believe. Help me see the truth of what you're trying to tell me. I believe that He will. I believe that He will reach out to you. When you take one step, He will take five more steps with you, and He will help you. Because just like the disciples, Thomas asked. It says there in James, it says, if you lack anything, ask. So if you're lacking and you're not believing, you're lacking faith, you're doubting, there's no better place to go than to run straight to Yeshua and say, I am doubting. It's not bad. It's a human thing. Say, Yahweh, I'm doubting. Show me, help me to believe. Because He knows that we are frail. He knows that we doubt. He knows that we struggle. So we have to run to Him.
And you know, sometimes doubt, You know, sometimes, there are people in life who have doubted things their whole lives. Mm. They've doubted themselves their whole life.
Yeah.
You know, and that becomes, the doubt becomes actually part of your identity.
That's right.
It becomes part of who you are. So it becomes very difficult to undo that doubt. And that is also exactly what you said, Yosef. It's about, you know what, the relationship we have with Yeshua is about openness. He doesn't just want us to be a little robot that follows like, you know, after him, just running there blindly. He wants you to come to him and be led into him, into intimacy, and say, I really don't understand. Or, you know what, I have this doubt and it's part of my identity. And that's not the image of Messiah Yeshua. The image of Messiah Yeshua is not one filled with doubt. So I have this identity that's formed around doubt in maybe this area of my life or that thing or whatever it may be. Please help me. Please help me. You know, I open up this place to you. Come inside and help me uncover this. Help me undo it. And sometimes he might do it through, you know, kind of really revealing to you layer by layer what's going on. Other times he's going to do it, you know, every single day. Maybe it's going to take a month. Maybe it's going to take a year.
Mm.
With Yeshua, you know, he's going to do the work in you because he wants to do it in relationship with you. And you know what? I just really want to say it's exactly true. That's the experiences of the people we read about in the Bible are real, and they are there to encourage us. Sarah doubted. She was standing, you know, in the tent, the little tent door, listening when the angels came and Yeshua was there, said, this time next year, you're going to have a son. And she was like, ha, 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 you know, good old laugh. And the angel of Yahweh, who we know, pre-incarnate Yeshua, it was like, why did your wife laugh? Why is she laughing? You know, she was like, no, I didn't laugh. It was like, yes, you did. You know, so you're going to name your son Isaac, which means laughter. And isn't that actually quite funny? You know, because she doubts, and in her doubt, she has this probably quite nervous laugh.
Yeah.
And then he says, well, because you laughed, you're going to name your son Laughter, you know, and he kind of has this exchange. And that's the reality. Gideon, what about Gideon? He's hiding away when the angel of Yahweh, again, Yeshua, appears to him and says to him, oh, mighty man of valor. You see, that's the beauty with the Father. He doesn't see us who we are today. He sees who we really are, who he really created us to be, and also who we can become.
Mm-hmm.
If we choose to rise up and break off that doubt. You know, he called to Gideon, mighty man of valor. And I love that this scripture has ministered so many times to me, and the times where we all feel that way, when we all feel like, my goodness, I don't think I have what it takes. The angel of Yahweh appears and says, oh, I'm calling you as I see you to be, not as you are now, but as you are and can become if you choose to be. And I think it's so powerful for all of us this evening. It is always this beautiful thing to know that Yeshua is with us and he can help us overcome our doubt. He can help us overcome, even if it's a doubt about a specific situation, you know, or something that you're going through and you wonder, is this ever going to end? Am I ever going to get over it? Yes, you can.
Amen.
If it's doubt that's part of your identity, he can work in that. Yeah. If it's this part doubt that's, you know, connected to your calling, you don't feel skilled or gifted, you don't feel good enough, he can help you overcome that. But it is about exactly like our sister says, surrender. Surrender is the key.
Yeah.
And surrender, I'll be honest with you, I spoke to Yosef a couple of years ago and said that word surrender to me kind of has a negative context, because when you think of surrender, you think of having to, you don't want to, you kind of have to, you know, think about a battle. Who surrenders? The one that loses.
That's right.
And then you lay down your tools and you hold that white flag up, right? And you're like, okay, I surrender, but I'm going to be now under forced labor or something because the enemy has just defeated me. And so I always think about it as kind of a thing of like a want. You know, I want him to take away my doubt. I want him to work inside of me. And I don't know what to even call that. But maybe it's just a reciprocal relationship of intimacy. And just a willfulness to say, I trust you and I love you. And I know that you're not going to harm me, or it's not, this isn't for a bad thing. But Abba Father, I know this is because you love me. So I want it. I want you to help me.
Amen. And I think surrender, like you said, it's throughout you know, throughout history and even today in sport or anything, if you surrender or you give up, it's like a kind of giving up. But with the Father, surrender is imperative. It's something that in the kingdom of Yahweh has a totally different meaning. You know, when we worship Yahweh in song and when we worship Him in music and we surrender and we put our arms up, you know, the sign of surrender to Yahweh is a life that is open. It's an openness. And that's more, you know, it's this desire to let go of everything and no longer holding on to what you think you can control. It's a matter of saying, you know what, Father, take my life and steer it in the right direction. I am no longer in control. I want you to be in control. And it's that thing of letting go and letting Him. And it's not easy. I think in this life, nobody wants to just say, okay, you know, I'm taking my hands and putting it up. But, you know, this evening, I really do believe that as we've spoken, that this has been a topic, Aaliyah, that has ministered not only to the people listening, but it's ministered to me, myself. It's ministered, like you said, first for us before it's for anyone else. And I pray this evening that if you're listening and you have a prayer request or you have a request for us to pray for a family member or anything like that, that when we go to our next song, that you will put your prayer requests down. There is time, I think, around about 3 minutes, so you can put your prayer request down and let's pray for these things. You know, if you have family members that are sick or you have people that are doubting in your family or you yourself are doubting, then put these things down there and let us pray as a community together for these things and trust the Father to help us all to have faith.
This is such a beautiful song. It's called I See You by Chris Tomlin and Brandon Lake. So enjoy the song. And like Yosef said, if you have a prayer request, or even if you just want to say, hey, pray for me, but you don't want to say what it is, put that down there as well. And we'll pray for you when we get back.
Everything will be alright. I see you in the morning light. I feel you in the fire by night.
Father, tonight I want to thank you for every single person that has stepped forward, Father, and said, you know, I need prayer, and not step back, but allowed you, Father, to say, this is what I want for you. So, Father, as we pray for all these requests tonight, I want to pray, Father, that your Spirit will move, that you, Father, will speak to their hearts and to their lives. Father, I want to thank you in the name of Yeshua for Colleen. I want to thank you so much, Father, that she's a woman that loves you, Father, and serves you in spirit and in truth. I pray, Father, that this new business venture, Father, that she is endeavoring on, Father, that the products and the things that she will sell, Father, that it will be things that people will be so drawn to, Father, and that it will be something, Father, that causes people to take hold of it and to run and to share with others. I pray, Father, that her business will be blessed. I pray, Father, that everything that she puts her hands to do, Father, will be blessed, and that it will grow, and that it will be a success. Success, Father, as you want it to be, in Yeshua's name. We thank you for her life. We thank you for the person that she is. We thank you, Father, for the way that she serves you. And I pray, Abba Father, also in her life, Yahweh, that there will be no doubt, no fear, no anxiety, no worry about anything, but Father, in everything, with prayer and supplication, that she will make her request known to you, Father, throughout this time and with her business. And Yahweh, that you will help her and bless her, and that it will be fruitful. We thank you for her, Father, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Father, we want to lift up my release to you this evening, and I pray, Father, in the name of Yeshua, Father, that you will give her supernatural strength. I know, Father, that in this world that we live in, Father, there is so much stress, there is so much tension, there is so much things that comes upon us, Father, whether it be through our families, or whether it be through our work, or whether it just be things that we have to deal with. So I pray, Father, in the name of Yeshua, that you will give my release, Father, supernatural strength through the power of your Spirit. We pray, Father, that every part of her heart, Father, that needs to be mended, Father, during this time, Father, that you will mend her heart. You are the great physician. You are the great I am. You are the one, Father, that mends our hearts and restores our soul and gives us joy in the morning, Father. So I pray this over my release in the name of Yeshua. I pray that the joy of your salvation will be evident in your life again, that when people look at you, they'll say, but how is it possible that you have so much joy and so much faith and so much security, even though you've gone through so much? I pray in the name of Yeshua that the Father will give you healing, supernatural healing in your life, that your spirit will be made whole again, and that you will be elevated from a place where you feel exhausted and defeated to a place of overcoming, and a place where you're no longer standing at the bottom of a mountain, standing, staring up, saying, how am I going to get to the top? But instead, that Yahweh will take you to the top, and that you'll look down and say, wow, how awesome is my King? How awesome is Yahweh that he took me to this place? I pray for you, my release. I pray that you'll be strengthened. I pray that every place that you put your foot upon, that Yahweh will give it to you, that the battle will be won, that the war will be won in your heart, in your mind, and in your life, and that Yahweh will be the one to carry you through the storms, over every mountain, and through every valley, in Yeshua's name. Father, we also want to lift up Debbie's daughter to you, Michelle. And Father, we pray during this time. Father, we know that now, as the world is in a pandemic, Father, as the world is being turned inside out, Father, that people are doubting, they are struggling, and they are fearing, because employment, Father, is being stripped away from so many. Father, because companies are folding, things are going in an opposite direction. But we know, Yahweh, that even in this time of chaos, even in this time of despair, that you are faithful, that you are the generous God, that you are the one who loves us. So I pray this evening, Father, over Michelle, Father, first and foremost, that you will take her mind and put the mind of Messiah Yeshua upon her. Father, I pray that her thoughts will be thoughts from you and not thoughts of this world. We pray, Yahweh, that there will be perfect peace in her life. And Father, that there will be miracle upon miracle for her, to build her faith, to show her, Father, that you love her. Please, Yahweh, I pray in the name of Yeshua that the doubt will be gone, and that the fear will be removed, and that she will no longer have to struggle with employment, but that a great and mighty door that to her seems shut, Father, will open in the weeks to come. And Father, that there will be a testimony in her life of how Yahweh, he alone, made the impossible possible. And we thank you for them. Father, we pray for Darby. We pray for Debbie. We pray, Father, that they will have words of encouragement, from you, Father, for their daughter, and that it will be able, Father, that they'll be able to speak this into Michelle's life, and that they will bless her in Yeshua's name. We thank you. Father, we also want to lift up Misha to you tonight. And Father, I want to pray for Misha. Misha, I pray in the name of Yeshua that the Father, as we said this evening, the Father of healing, the great physician, that he will heal your body. Every part of your body that is struggling, every part of your body where there is pain or where there is this disease that you have. I pray in the name of Yeshua that the Father will heal it from the inside out. That Yahweh, as you are saying even in this message, that the battle for years will come to an end. That there will be a miracle taking place in your life. Father, we pray through the power of your Spirit that you will heal every single part of Misha's body. Father, that there will be a complete restoration, not just a partial restoration, but Father, through the power of your Spirit, that you, Father, will bless her. That there will be no doubt, Father, that when you say that you can do something, that it shall be done in her life. I pray for you, Misha, that the faith that Yahweh has given you now more than ever will rise to a level that it has never been before. And because of your faith, that he will make you whole. I pray in the name of Yeshua that the word of Yahweh over your life will be a word of encouragement, a word of healing, and a word of blessing. And we thank you for your life. We pray, Father, tonight in the name of Yeshua that you will be strengthened. Strengthened from the inside out, because it is difficult. And I want to say this to you tonight. It is not easy when we linger under diseases and we linger under things of this world, or we linger under things that cause us to doubt and wonder, why is it that I have this? Why am I sick and I can't get better? I pray tonight that you will not have such thoughts, but throughout this ordeal, that Yahweh will minister to you and heal you, and that you will be blessed in Yeshua's name. Father, we want to pray tonight for Elise. And I pray, Father, in the name of Yeshua, I thank you first and foremost for her life. We thank you, Father, that she joined and that she has been blessed. We thank you, Father, that you who started this good work in her will bring it to completion. And I pray this evening in the name of Yeshua for a time of intimacy in your life like you have never experienced before. I pray, Abba Father, that she will walk in the purposes for her life, that there will be no doubt, Father, no anxiety, no worry, but instead, Father, perfect peace, because perfect peace casts out all fear. And we pray, Yahweh, tonight, that you, Father, will draw closer to her as a loving father, as a gentleman, that you will take the first step tonight, Father, closer to her as she cries out and says, Father, I want to know you more. I want to be intimate with you. I want to have an experience with you. So I pray this evening, Father, that you will act upon her faith. And Yahweh, that you will draw closer to her and that you'll put your loving arms around her. And more importantly, Father, we pray that through her life and through this intimacy that is cultured, Father, and growing in her heart and in her life, that people in her family will see, Father, the light of Yeshua shining through her and ask questions, that there will be salvation in her family, that every person in her family this evening, Father, that is struggling to know the truth about who you are will come, Father, to the knowledge and to the saving power of Messiah Yeshua. We pray that over her, Father, in the wonderful and powerful name of Yeshua Mashiach.
Amen. I want to say thank you so much to each and every single one of you for joining us today. We just give Yahweh all the praise for his goodness and for his amazing love and for being with us this evening. It's been such a blessing just to fellowship with you all and to fellowship with Yeshua. And may you have a wonderful week, a Shavua Shavua Tov, and we cannot wait to see you again next week. Do not forget, I just must add, do not forget, and I know that you probably all know this, but we are in this incredible month of Elul, that month that is leading us up to those amazing fall feasts. And we are so excited about the fall feasts. Tentatively, Yom Teruah is falling round about the 6th or the 7th of September. So it's kind of like just over or on about 2 weeks' time where these fall feasts will begin. And we are really excited about that. So I pray that this special month, you know, this biblical month, will really be a time of blessing for you. And will really be a time where Yahweh really takes you deeper into the things of Him. So be blessed. Enjoy this week, Shavua Tov, and see you next week.
See you next week.
From the struggle there will come will show you are faithful forever. The victory is mine, 'cause the battle is yours.